بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 20th and final session, reading from Bawa'ith al-Khalas min al-Dhunub. And those means or ways in which a person will be helped and enabled to escape from sin. The original text for this topic is from Al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Dimashqi al-Hanbali, who is better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah. And the commentary is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. This evening, we're going to be looking at the 20th ba'ith, yani the 20th motivational factor that would be a means of helping a person to escape from sin and to distance oneself from those things that lead to it. Before we do that, we want to look quickly at some of the points that we covered last week in the previous session from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 19. The first question being, summarize the 19th ba'ith, the 19th motivational factor, as presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. 19th. Fadl ya Ibrahim al-Fulani. MashaAllah. That's a good summary. جيد لا بس لا بس. طيب, you want to share it with us?
The seven is created for the hereafter. He is not created for this dunya, because the dunya is a temporary abode that is going to vanish, and the akhirah is the everlasting abode. And it is the home of everlasting joy and residence. As for this dunya, even if there is happiness and joy within this dunya, it is mixed with the opposite. And the dunya is a board of test.
Is a board of what?
A board of test.
Test. Jazakallah khair. So, to summarize it a little bit further, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being for something that is permanent and perfect in the next life. But he has tested the human being in this world with some of those same things that are imperfect and temporary, which distract the person from the greater objective or goal, which is in the next life. So a person has to focus on this reality that Allah didn't intend that we become slaves of the things in this world. Rather, he intended that we work hard in this world and pass the test so that we will enjoy those things that he has prepared for us in the next life. The second question, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, the majority of the creation err in this matter, yani the matter under discussion, as they seek bliss, eternity, honor, power, dominion, and position. Now, fadl.
They seek it in the wrong place, and they seek it in the dunya instead of seeking it in the akhirah.
They are seeking these things in the wrong place, in other than their proper place. So they are seeking these things that Allah has created for them in this world. One point left out is very important. Seeking it in this world caused them to miss out on that in the next life. Naam. يعني فاتهم في محله. You seek it in غير محله, ففاتك في محله. Naam. So this is very important that we don't become distracted seeking that which Allah has prepared for us in the next life, seeking it now. That's a distraction, and it will cause a person to lose out on that which is intended for us. Question number 3. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, the true king is the one who controls what, whereas the king who surrenders is what? Very brief answer. I don't know, somebody back there, I see the hand, I don't know who it is, I can't see your face. Is that Sharif?
No.
Okay.
The one who controls his anger and his desires.
Naam, the one who controls his angers and desires is the true king, because this one is free, yani of slavery to the things in this world. Whereas the king, yani who has the crown and the authority in the land, but he surrenders to what?
To
his desires. And he surrenders to his emotions, to his anger. Then this one becomes a slave, subservient to these things. Yani to his desires and his emotions. Question number 4. Mention the title given to this 19th Ba'ith, motivational factor, by Sheikh Abdul Razak in his commentary. In his commentary. And I should have said in his commentary in the Arabic, because the commentary in the Arabic and the English is a little bit different. But if anybody knows either of them, inshallah, we'll take it. Abu Bakr. Naam, that's the summary title that the Shaykh gave for this particular ba'ath. The meaning of it is? Well, is, yani honor. Yes. Dar al-Baqa. And the hereafter. Yani the place that is intended to be lasting. Any real happiness, joy, all of these things that a person is seeking in this world, the real happiness and the real joy is yani in the next life, not in this life. Because all of those pleasures and happiness and joy in this world are polluted and corrupted and distorted in this world. Mention 3 things the people of paradise will not experience as it relates to this ba'ith. And this is mentioned in the Quran, 35th surah, 34th and 35th ayah. What are those 3 things?
Al-huzn.
Al-hazn. Wa-nasab. Wa-lughub. Meaning?
Al-hazn means sadness. Nasab means fatigue.
Okay. Yani more so the mental weariness. Naam. Tayyib, question number 6. Summarize the final statement of Sheikh Abdul Razak from the Arabic text. It's similar to what he said in the third paragraph of the English translation. So if somebody reads it from the third paragraph of the English translation, it's fine. Otherwise, it's more clear in the Arabic text, the final statement that the Sheikh makes in this topic. Very important statement that he closes with. Naam, tafadhal.
He said the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he force himself, force his mind within himself, and remind himself and recognize from bliss. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare for them, for the believers, in the next life. And he removes the temporal transit of pleasure, disobedience, will be a cause for him being deprived of this high station of permanent joy and happiness in the next life. Then he will strive against himself enough to resist and to avoid those things that engage in this pleasure that are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Tayyib.
A summary?
Tafadhal. Now, there are actually 3 points. If you summarize, it should be 3 points. Now, yambaghi jihad al nafs,
you have to do jihad al nafs against the shahawat and other things in order to attain the eternal bliss.
Yeah, and that's the last point that he left out. In order, this is for what? In order to attain the eternal bliss. Now, so the Shaykh, he says, yani istihdar, that a person calls to mind, and he thinks about and reflects upon the fact that the real happiness and joy, the eternal bliss, and he calls to mind this, yani that it is in the next life. And when he knows that, the temporary pleasures of this world will be the cause of him being deprived of that. When he knows that, enjoying the temporary pleasures of this world, will be the cause of him being deprived of the joy and happiness that's perfect and permanent in the next life. Then as a result of that, he does what? He strives against himself to resist and to protect himself from those sins in order that he may achieve that which is greater in the next world. Anyway, these are some of the points. The last point is the summarize the first 19 bawaith. Let's just take a moment and try to go through them one time. So that this will be the last time that we're reviewing these points. Now, starting in order though. Number one, first thing. The first motivation factor Ibn Qayyim mentions. First one, naam. Ijlalullah. Naam, meaning? Reverence. Ta'zeem. Glorification, exaltation of Allah. Naam. Number two. Mahabbat Allah. Naam. Love of Allah. That a person who has love of Allah, this is a tremendous factor in helping a person to resist disobedience to Allah. Because the love of Allah should cause a person to be obedient to Allah. Number three. Naam, ni'amullah wa ihsan. That Allah has given us so many blessings, favors and bounties, this also should be a motivating factor for the person to return. Yani to return that with obedience. Number four. That's five. Ghadab Allah. That Allah's anger and His wrath is upon the person who allows themselves to engage in those things that are displeasing to Him, disobedience to Him. And this is a tremendous motivating factor. A person knows that this will cause the anger of Allah and His wrath and His punishment, so this will help a person to resist. Number five. Ibrahim, number five. Fawat al-khayr al-khad. Yani that a person, and he avoids sins, knowing that engaging in sin will be the cause of them losing out on that which is better than it in this world and in the next life. The good that Allah has for the people who are obedient. Number six. Now, Adil.
The recognition of conquering and defeating, conquering oneself, nafs.
Ladha taqahar. It is a pleasure.
The pleasure
of that a person will experience when they conquer their nafs and resist shaitan. Naam. That's what? Six, seven? Oh, that's okay, yeah. Number seven, yeah. Naam, you said what compensation? Yeah, the compensation. Yani that the person who avoids the pleasures of this world that are in disobedience to Allah, Allah will compensate them. For giving that up, Allah will compensate them with that which is better in this world and in the next. Number eight. Ma'iyatullah al-khasa. Al-khasa. Please remember khasa. Ma'iyatullah is amma and khasa. We're talking about here? Khasa, right? And the special relationship of Allah being with the abd. Because of the obedience to Him, then Allah will aid them. He will assist them. He will protect them. He will provide for them. Unlike what He Yani, the general provisions of Allah and protection of Allah. Naam. Number nine. Naam. Quick passing of the dunya. Yani, that a person fears. That a person fears that they might die suddenly in a condition that will be displeasing to Allah. So this also should help a person to remember always that they don't want to die in that condition. Number eight. Number ten. Mashhad. Al-bala wal-afi. What does that mean? Mashhad al-bala wal-afi. Being mindful of the calamities and well-being. So what is the calamity and what is the well-being? What do we mean by calamities? Al-bala is what here? Who's saying that? Who said that? Okay. Yani al-bala, it means that real calamity is that a person is in disobedience to Allah. That's the real calamity. Whatever might befall a person in this, yani, physical affairs of their life, yani, sickness or whatever, the real calamity is that a person is engaging in disobedience to Allah. And the real afia, well-being, is what? The opposite, that a person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 11, naam, Adam.
Becoming accustomed to using the methods to overcome sin.
Gradually becoming accustomed to, yani, using, yani, to striving, yani, to overcome sin, to strive and struggle to overcome the invitations to evil. Number 12. repelling evil thoughts. Naam. That a person strives, struggles, that makes war, muharaba, yani makes war against those evil thoughts that come from the nafs. Yani khawatir al-nafs al-batila. Number 13. Muwafaqatin nafs. Any cutting off those causes or those means, those things that call a person, invite a person to surrender to their nafs, to be obedient to their nafs. Cutting oneself from off from those things. Now, number 14. Naam, التفكر في آيات الله المخلوقة والمتلوة. Meaning? Naam. Thinking about, reflecting upon yani the signs of Allah that are in the creation and in the book of Allah, yani the ayat of the Quran. Number 15. Huh? Stop. 13 was tafakkur fi ayatillah al-makhluqa wal-matluwa.
Oh,
that's 14. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so the title that, yani there are two titles for that particular point. One of them was qata al-alaq wal-asbab, and this one was sarf, yani al-hawa. So the meaning there of the other title is that a person turns their desires to that which is pleasing to Allah. And if they cut themselves off from those things that cause them to follow their desires, and the other meaning that is given to it is that a person directs any of their desires, any to make it to be in compliance with that which is loved by Allah. Now, 15. Now, meaning that, any what? How quickly the dunya is going away? And how near is its end? You know, that a person realizes that this thing is just going. It's not lasting, it's not permanent, and it is, you know, there's nothing to hold on to. Naam. You know, the world, it doesn't have any value in reality to Allah, and therefore it shouldn't be valued by the believers. Number 16? Huh?
Recognizing the importance of turning one's heart to the one who controls the heart.
Naam. Turning oneself to the one who controls the hearts, who controls every affair. Yani that a person turns to Allah, who is in control of every affair. Yani that is a way of what? Getting help to resist and to distance oneself from sins by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And He's the one who controls the hearts, and He's the one who controls every affair. Number 17. Number 17, yeah, Sharif. Knowing that there are two opposing forces pulling on a person in opposite directions, yani the force of good and the force of evil. A person recognizing that and resisting the pull towards evil, yani that is going to be the means of their destruction, and complying, submitting and surrendering to yani the call to good. Naam. Naam. Yani that recognizing, a person recognizes that within himself there are two opposite opposing forces pulling him in different directions. Yani something pulling him to evil and the other one pulling him to good. When he knows that, then he resists the call or the pull or the invitation to evil, and he complies with, surrenders to the pull to that which is good, and which is his salvation. Number, what are we on? 16, 17, 18. Now, 18, that should be fresh in our mind. We just had it on Monday again. Back to back. Now, Friday and Monday. Now, Father Abdul Wali.
For the growth, i.e. the heart, to receive good,
now, for the heart, yani for the land, whatever a person is planting in, we are talking about a heart, then it has to be emptied out. Everything has to be removed from it, yani, that is of evil. Naam. And then we have to plant the seeds. And we have to also, yani, hope for the mercy of Allah, the rain of Allah's rahmah. So, what is the Arabic expression that the Shaykh used for this particular ba'ath? Three words. At-takhliya, qabla tahliya. Takhliya with kha, qabla tahliya. Naam. We had this in two classes back to back, Friday and Monday. Number 19. Naam. So we talked about that in the first question, right? The true, real na'im, yani the real bliss, the real happiness, the real yani joy, it is in the permanent life, in the next life. And the last point actually contains two points. The Shaykh has summarized it. I'm going to read his summary. He said, jihad and nafs, that's one point. Striving against the nafs so that a person can be in obedience to Allah. وَتَخَلَّصْ مِنْ أَوَاعِدِ السُّوءِ. And also that a person has to work hard at trying to free themselves. Yani free themselves from the habits, the evil habits. From the evil habits. So there are two things here that we want to pay attention to in tonight's point, and each of them are extremely important. I'm going to start with the English translation from the back of the book on page 69. Point number 20, the last point that Ibn Qayyim mentions. I'm going to look at the English translation first, and then we'll go to the Arabic translation and then the two commentaries, the English commentary and the Arabic commentary. So just quickly, again, in the English commentary on page 69, point number 20 says that the abd, the worshipper of Allah, yani the one who wants to avoid and distance themselves from sin, he should not be deluded by his belief that mere knowledge of what we have mentioned is sufficient. He should not be deluded into believing that just knowing these things is sufficient to reach the desired goal. What is the desired goal? Huh? Here, the desired goal is to escape sin for the pleasure of Allah. Now, but the desired goal is to escape. Just knowing the ways and means of escaping sin is not sufficient. It's not sufficient to achieve the desired goal. Desired goal is what? To escape from sin. To distance oneself from sin. Rather, it is incumbent that he exerts effort to apply this knowledge and that he gives his utmost exertion and ability to do so. The pivotal factor, yani the most important thing, we could say the essential prerequisite in order to achieve, in order to escape from sins, is the abandonment of accustomed practices. Yani that a person abandons their evil habits. Because they are enemies of perfection and success. There is no success for a person who cannot rid himself of his evil habits, ever. He should seek assistance to rid himself of these habits by fleeing from the sources of fitna and staying far away from them. Yani a person seeks help in order to escape from the evil habits. He seeks help by what? By fleeing from the sources of the fitna, the things that lead to fitna, that open the door to fitna, that he distances himself from these things, and this will help him. And this will help him to escape from evil habits. How do you escape from evil habits? Stay away from the things that lead to it. And the Shaykh gives some detail in his commentary, in the Arabic commentary concerning this particular point. Shaykh says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever hears about the Dajjal should flee from him. And whoever hears about the Dajjal shouldn't imagine that my iman is so strong that I can deal with that. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever hears about the Dajjal should be far removed. Distance yourself from the Dajjal. Don't even, not flee from it, don't go near the fitna. Don't go near the fitna. He closes by saying, it is appropriate to mention a trick of the devil, which no one escapes except the wise. This is that he attempts, the shaitan, attempts to present some good in the sources of evil, yani the places, the madan of fitna. He tries to put some good there, show you something good there, and then he calls people to partake in it. So when they approach it, he catches them in his net, and the aid of Allah is sought from this. So, from the Arabic, we're reading from page 55, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, he says, الإشرون, the 20th, يعني بعث, from the بعث of, يعني, escaping from sins. And لا يغتر, باعتقاده أن مجرد العلم بما ذكرنا كاف في حصول المقصود. يعني the person should not be deceived, should not be deluded by his belief, يعني what he believes, he thinks, that simply having knowledge of what we have mentioned would be sufficient to achieve the goal. And no person should imagine that because I know these things, I'm going to be okay. And I think we've been saying this from the first session 5 months ago when we started this class, that it's not sufficient just to learn these matters. Sure, that's where it starts, because if you don't know, you can't do it. But knowing it is not sufficient. He says, بَلْ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يُضِيفَ إِلَيْهِ بَذْلُ الْجُهُدِ فِي إِسْتِعْمَالِهِ. Rather, a person must add to this knowledge, knowing these things, must also add to it, yani that he exerts himself. He exerts himself to use this knowledge, to apply it in one's life. As well as, وَاسْتِفْرَاغْ الْوُسْعِ وَالطَّاقَةِ فِيهِ. And that a person, yani does not spare any effort, that a person uses everything that they have at their disposal, every ability that they have, yani, to apply this knowledge. وَمَلَاكُ ذَلِكَ, yani, مَلَاكُ ذَلِكَ الْخُرُوجُ عَنَ الْعَوَادِ. What we mean by malak, we mean that this is the most essential matter that is required in order for a person, yani malak ذَلِكَ, ذَلِكَ meaning, yani the most essential factor, the most essential prerequisite of achieving the goal, of attaining the goal, of escaping from sin, is al-khuruj an al-awa'id, is that a person gets away from, leaves, yani the evil habits that they have. That a person leaves the evil habits. Yani everybody can look at themselves and find some things that they do all the time that are not good. These habits, if a person can't escape from them, there's no hope. And if you're going to keep doing it again and again and again, there's no hope. So he says the most important matter here in order to achieve the goal of escaping, of abandoning sin, is that a person leaves, gets away from those evil habits, the things that they go back to again and again and again. For Muslims, inshallah, this is not a major matter, but for many people, smoking is a bad habit that people have difficulty escaping from. It's something that even though they know it's killing them. Yeah, I think it's written on the cigarette package, it used to be 50 years ago, I don't know about now, that the Surgeon General has determined that smoking cigarettes is going to kill you. So a person knows that this is evil, but they keep going back to it again and again and again. And just as a side note, I remember when I was a teenager, that was a long time ago, very long time ago. The people used to say, every time the price of cigarettes went up, they used to say, if cigarettes go up to a dollar, I'm going to stop smoking. If cigarettes go up to a dollar, that's it for me. How much are cigarettes now? Allahu musta'an. And subhanallah. This is a manifestation, an indication of the danger of bad habits. A person can't get away from it. And if a person has a bad habit, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. So the Shaykh says the key, the essential prerequisite for achieving the goal of escaping sin is that a person leaves their bad habits. فَإِنَّهَا أَعْدَاءُ الْكَمَالُ وَالْفَلَاحِ. Because these bad habits are the enemy of perfection and success. فَلَا أَفْلَحَ مَنْ اسْتَمَرَّ مَا عَوَاعِدِهِ أَبَدًا. So a person who continues to go back again and again to their bad habits, they continuously engage in those bad habits, they will never achieve success. They will never achieve success. وَيَسْتَعِينُ عَلَى الْخُرُوجِ عَنَ الْأَوَاعِدِ بِالْحَرَبِ عَنْ مَظَانْ الْفِتْنَةِ وَالْبُعْدْ مِنْهَا. So a person seeks help. They seek aid and they seek assistance in escaping from these bad habits by what? By fleeing from, Yani the yani Madan, yani the places that it's likely where this thing is gonna happen. Yani the things that you know are the causes of yani falling into that practice that is evil. Yani that a person flees from those places or those times or those people in which it's most likely that they're gonna be yani caught up in this thing and distance themselves from it. And an indication of this is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Man samia bid-dajjal falyan'a anhu." Yani whoever hears about the Dajjal, that Dajjal is there, is somewhere, whoever hears about the Dajjal, not saw the Dajjal, but just heard that the Dajjal is present, he said that person must distance themselves and keep far away. Don't even go near to that place. فَمَسْتُعِينَ عَلَى التَّخَلُّصِ مِنَ الشَّرْ بِمِثْلِ الْبُعْدِ عَنْ أَسْبَابِهِ وَمَضَانِهِ. So there is nothing that a person will seek help from in order to escape from evil that would be like, that would be equal to, or even near to this thing. Yani the best thing that a person can seek help in order to escape from evil is that they avoid its asbab and its madan, that they avoid the causes, the means, and those places or things where it is most likely that that evil is going to be present, that they stay away from those things. Here the shaykh closes, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, وَهَا هُنَا لَطِيفَةٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Here's a fine point, and he's referring to one of the traps or the tricks of shaytan. It's a latifa, because it's something that is not so obvious, it's not so clear, it's not easily known to everyone. He says it is لَا يَتَخَلَّصْ مِنْهَا إِلَّا حَاذِقْ. Yani that nobody will escape from this trick or this trap of shaitan except the person who is wise, the person who is clever, the person who is smart, who is thinking. وَهِيَ أَنْ يُذْهِرَ لَهُ فِي مَضَانِ الشَّرِّ بَعْدَ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَيَدَعُهُ إِلَى تَحْصِيلِهِ فَإِذَا قَرُبَ مِنْهُ أَلْقَاهُ فِي الشَّبَكَةِ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانِ. Yani what is this matter that only the wise person will escape from? It is that shaitan, yani yudhira lahu, he makes him to see, he presents something to him so that he sees it, some kind of good, some even small amount of good, but it's in the place of evil. And then he calls the person, he entices them to get that good. There's some good there. And when he comes and gets near to the good, yani this is the trap of the yani of hunters, right? They put the bait, and when the animal gets near to it, it's a trap. The fisherman does that, right? Some of you fishermen, you put the worm on the, I've never been fishing, but yani, that's how you do it, right? And then when the fish goes for the bait, khalas, he becomes yani the meal. Shaitan, he offers, he shows, he makes apparent some small amount of good in the place of evil, and then he calls the person to get it. And when they come, then he throws them in the net and he captures them. Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh in his commentary, Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, he entitles this particular matter Jihad and Nafs wa takhallus min awa'idi as-su. Yani striving, struggling against oneself in order to act upon this knowledge. Yani pushing oneself to act upon this knowledge, because it's not sufficient just to know these things, rather a person has to act upon them. And this requires jihad. It requires that a person strive. And if anyone knows these matters, if a person knows them, then you will know also that they didn't benefit you unless you struggled against your nafs to act upon them. And in 5 months, we have taken 19 of them, and this is the 20th, and we should know by now the reality that if a person merely accumulates this knowledge, it's not going to benefit. It's only going to benefit when you strive and struggle and force yourself to act upon it. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah entitled a chapter in his Sahih, العلم قبل القول والعمل. العلم قبل القول والعمل. يعني knowledge has to precede speech and action. This means that you have to have knowledge, but that's not the end goal. It precedes speech and action. So there also has to be speech, and there also has to be action, but it's preceded by knowledge. So knowledge is the starting point, but it's not the destination. A person knows these things, and then they have to actually make some effort to apply them. He said, jihad al-nafs wa takhallus min awadi as-su, and that a person, yani, strives and struggles against their nafs in order to free oneself, to escape from the evil habits. Naam. So, before I actually, I'm going to stop here because I am going to read quickly the commentary of the Sheikh, because there are some points here in the English translation that are not in the Arabic text. So I'm going to just read quickly from page 44 and page 45 from the English translation. He entitled this, knowledge has to be accompanied by action. So similar in meaning. Knowledge has to be accompanied by action, but in the Arabic title, there's another meaning there that's very important, which is what? Knowledge has to be accompanied by action. What did he mention in the Arabic title that's not understood here? Jihad and nafs. Struggle, striving. Person has to exert himself. Yani knowledge has to be accompanied by action, but that action is not going to occur unless the person is ready to strive and to struggle. He says the 20th way was to escape sins, which Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah concluded these motivational factors with, is for the servant to not be deluded by his belief that mere knowledge of what has been mentioned is sufficient enough to produce the desired results. So mere knowledge of the motivational factors for escaping sins that were mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah is insufficient. It is not sufficient. Rather, it is mandatory for this knowledge to be accompanied by the struggle, the striving against one's soul in order to act upon these matters, to put them into practice. This advice from him, rahimahullah, yani this matter here that we're discussing tonight is of the utmost importance. And these motivational factors that we have mentioned previously for escaping sins are not just theoretical knowledge that is reviewed in circles of learning. And it's not something that we just come to the masjid and we read these things and we talk about them and that's the end of it. It's not intended to be theory, but it's intended that we act upon it in our real lives. However, or rather, these are matters that must be carefully considered when faced with these situations in order to practically struggle against one's soul, in order to ensure its safety, in order to ensure one's safety and well-being through staying away from sins and protecting oneself from them. That's the end of what that is the topic itself. And then he says, this is a summary of what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, with the addition of some benefits that's mentioned by the Shaykh himself, Shaykh Abdul Razak, and explanation and clarification. And this is also an indication of the importance of learning from the scholars. Because Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned these 20 points, very, very beneficial points, but there's also a need, yani, for a scholar to explain these points. And the Shaykh, he has added, very, very briefly, some extra benefits and some explanation and clarification. I advise everyone to review this beneficial chapter in the book Uddatu Sabirin wa Dhakiratu Shakirin by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Then he says, I've summarized the speech into approximately 2.5 pages. And he summarized these 20 points in 2.5 pages, which I will give to the brothers, yani, in writing or however. And although it isn't perfect, I have done it so that it can be shared. So that it can be shared via the various mediums, or so that it may be spread by the will of Allah and perhaps benefit those who attend it as well as other than them by way of whatever means are available. Yani to benefit others as well. Shaykh, he says, we ask Allah the most generous, the Lord of the magnificent throne, by his greatest names and lofty attributes, because he is Allah, besides whom there is nothing deserving of worship besides him. We ask him to benefit us all with what we have learned, and that he increase us in knowledge and rectify all of our affairs. And I ask Allah that he does not leave us to our own devices for even the blinking of an eye. Surely he, the blessed and exalted, hears the supplication, and with him lies our hope. He is sufficient for us and a blessed maintainer of affairs. And may the prayers and peace and blessings of Allah be upon his servant and his messenger Muhammad and his family and his companions, all of them. As far as the Shaykh's Arabic explanation, he says, again, he titles it Jihad al-Nafs, yani struggling against the nafs, wa takhallus min awa'id as-su, and to free oneself, to escape from those evil habits that would be the means of a person's destruction. فَالْعَبْدْ إِذَا أَبْتُلِيَ بِمَعَسِيَةٍ مِنَ الْمَعَاسِ وَأَتَادَ عَلَى فِعْلِهَا فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَبْذُلَ كَامِلِ وُسْعِهِ وَطَاقَتِهِ لِتَرْكِ هَذَا الْإِعْتِيَادِ السَّيِّ. يعني that the abd, the worshipper of Allah, if he is tested and he tried by Allah in that he has fallen into any sin, yani any sin, and then he became accustomed to doing it, and after the first time he went back to it again and again and again, then it is incumbent upon him to exert completely his every effort and every ability to abandon this evil habit. And here in these words, and there is a clear indication that this requires a full effort. This is not something that you try to do now and then, here and there, make a little effort. It means that a person has to actually struggle with everything that they have. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that the human beings, every human being, kulli bani adam, is committing sins. So how can a person escape from this? It is a struggle, a real struggle. It's not to be taken lightly. A person has to care about their self, to exert the effort to escape from sins which would be the cause of their destruction and their punishment in the next life, if not for the mercy and favor of Allah and His forgiveness. So he said a person has to exert everything that they have in order to escape this evil habit. And then he says, وَأَنْفَعُ مَا يَفْعَلُهُ لِذَلِكَ, and the most beneficial of what a person can do in order to abandon the evil habits and the evil behavior, بَعْدَ الْإِسْتِعَاذَ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّسْ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُؤَدِّيَةِ لِهَذِهِ الْمَعْسِيَةِ. Yani the most beneficial thing that a person can do in order to abandon the evil habits, the most beneficial thing that a person can do after, the most beneficial thing that a person can do is seeking refuge and seeking help, الْإِسْتِعَانَ, seeking help from Allah. That's the most beneficial thing that a person can do. But after that, the next most beneficial thing that a person can do in order to escape from sinning, or escape from the asbab al-mu'addiyah, the causes that lead to a person committing these sins, this is the most beneficial that a person can thing that a person can do, is to try to escape from, to free themselves from those things that lead to the commission of sins. And here he mentions three categories of things, and these are examples. They are not intended to be the whole of the picture, but these are examples of things or asbab, causes that lead a person to sinning. From amongst them, he said, if the sabab that leads a person to sin, if in kana taqa'a ma rifqati su'in falwajibu mufaraqatihim, if it is that a person is committing sins due to their evil companions, because of the company that they're keeping, the people that they have as friends, if it's due to that, then it is obligatory on that person to separate from them, give them up. That's an example that a person has bad company. The second one, he said, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ تَحْصُلُ الْمَعَسِيَةُ عِنْدَ إِسْتِخْدَامِ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَجْهِزَةِ الْحَدِيثَةِ, yani if it was that these sins are occurring when a person is using any of these modern devices, like the dumb phone, or the iPad, or the whatever instruments, I don't know. I'm sure that there are many other ones. Tablets. Huh? Tablets. TV is from the old days. I don't know if people are watching TV today anymore. Allahu a'lam. But the point is, if it's that any a person is falling into sin due to the use of especially these modern devices, then he said, a person must escape from this, free themselves from it. Yani, leave it off completely. When كانت المعصية تتقرر منه في أرض خاصة. And if it is that a person is committing a sin again and again and again, repeating it in a particular land, in a particular land, a person goes to a city or a town or a state or a country, and when they go there, they're always engaged in sin. Then a person has to, he said, خَرَجَ مِنْهَا وَغَادَرَهَا. And a person has to go out from that place and leave it. Yani, distance themselves from it, depart from it, quickly. وَيَدُلُّ لِذَلِكَ قِصَّةُ الرَّجُلَ الَّذِي قَتَلَ مِيَةَ نَفْسٍ. Yani, an indication of this is the story of the man who killed 100 people. وَذَهَبَ إِلَى عَالَمٍ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَسَأَلَهُ هَلْ لَهُ تَوْبَةٌ. So he went to a scholar, one of the scholars, and he asked him, is there any opportunity for him, after killing 100 people, is there any opportunity for him to repent? The scholar, we know the story, right? So the sheikh is not telling the whole story, it's well known, but he's telling us the point that is important. He said, the scholar said to him, Naam, yes, there is an opportunity, even after what you have done, there's an opportunity for tawbah. He said to him, وَمَنْ يَحُولُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ تَوْبَةٍ. Yani, who is it? What is it that would come between you that could prevent you from repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani, there's nothing. There's nothing to stop you from repenting. It's up to you. And then he told him, number one, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناس يعبدون الله فاعبد الله معهم. He said, go to such and such land. For indeed in that land there are people who are worshipping Allah alone. And this is a lesson to us today. Go to a land where the people are worshipping Allah alone. And worship Allah with them. And worship Allah with them. And who are you going to worship Allah with if you're in the land where the people are worshipping other than Allah? But worship Allah with them. And there needs to be a jama'ah, there needs to be a community where people are worshipping Allah together. He said, secondly, وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ عَرْضِكَ فَإِنَّهَا عَرْضُ السُّوءِ. And do not return to your land, for indeed it is the land of evil. What land is more evil than this one? Wallahu musta'an. And so it is incumbent upon us to think about this story that the Shaykh mentions here in light of this particular matter that we're talking about, but also in light of our own reality. Our own reality. That if a person wants to repent to Allah and improve their life, they have to be in a better environment. And this is not the environment. The Shaykh closes this point by saying, قال الحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله فيه إشارة إلى أن التائب ينبغي له مفارقة الأحوال التي اعتادها في الزمن المعصية وتحول منها كلها. He said that Al-Hafiz in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari Fath al-Bari, he says that in this story, in this hadith, is an indication that the one who has repented, it is incumbent upon that person to separate from the ahwal, the situations, the circumstances, the conditions in which he became accustomed, to committing sin. At the time that he's committing sin, those situations, those circumstances, those conditions, he has to completely separate from those situations. وَتَحَوَّلْ مِنْهَا. And then he must change, make a transformation. From those conditions, completely, he has to change and do the opposite. Do something completely different. This is the end of the Sheikh's commentary, and then there's just some closing words, which we'll read quickly. The Sheikh says in his closing, these are bawaith qayyima. These are valuable, yani motivational factors, causes or reasons, matters, asbab, umur, yani that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah has mentioned. Yambadi al-i'tina'u biha. Number one, these are important matters that Ibn Qayyim has mentioned here. It is incumbent upon the person who cares about their self to give care to them. Al-i'tina. Yani that a person gives care to them. This is not something that has no value. And if you had $100 even, not 1,000 or 10,000, if you have $100 in your wallet, you're not going to just lay it on the floor. Or maybe your telephone, because that's probably more than $100. You're not going to just lay it on the floor and leave it somewhere, because it has some value. You're going to give care to it and make sure that it's taken care of. You should anyway. Some people do leave their phones. One brother left his phone in Masjid Ikhwa one time, and he had just bought it. And he started cussing in the masjid, because when he came back, it wasn't there. That's a fact. So a person has to give care to something that's valuable, right? He said, "Yambagi al-i'tina'u biha." We have to give care, pay attention to these things. Wa mujahadatu nafs, mujahadatu nafs ala al-amal biha, and we must strive and struggle to force ourselves to act upon them. It's not going to just happen because you know them. Rather, you got to make an effort. Wa istihdaruha مَتَى مَا سَوَّلَتْ النَّفْسِ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ لِتَحْصُلْ لِلْعَبْدِ السَّلَامَةُ وَالْعَافِيَةُ وَالرُّفْعَةُ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ. Give care to these things, struggle against yourself to act upon them, and then call them to mind. Every time the nafs tries to beautify to you, tries to, yani, present something of falsehood to you, then you must call these matters to mind, so that, yani, you will achieve as-salama, safety, and al-afiyah, protection, and al-rifa, yani a high station in this world and the next. Then he says, وَيَتَأَكَّدُ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ وَفِي كُلِّ مَقَامِ كَثْرَةُ الدُّعَاءِ وَحُسْنُ الْعِلْتِجَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani that here it becomes important upon us to reaffirm the importance in this particular situation of trying to escape from sins. Rather, he said, in every situation, the importance of an abundance of dua and turning to Allah in a good way, turning to Allah, husn al-iltija, turning to Allah, knowing that He's the one who controls every affair. Yani the importance of making a lot of dua and turning to Allah, the one who controls everything, for in al-hidayah, والتوفيق والاستقامة بيد الله وحده عز وجل. And that is because al-hidayah, yani the knowledge of right guidance that a person needs to save themselves, and the tawfiq, the success or the ability to act upon that knowledge, and the istiqama, remaining firm upon it, all of this is in the hands of Allah alone. Yani the knowledge that will enable a person to be rightly guided, and the tawfiq, the ability to act upon that knowledge, as well as to remain firm upon it, to be steadfast upon it, all of this is with Allah alone. All of this is with Allah alone. Therefore, a person should be calling on Allah all the time, turning to Allah all the time. And then he says something very beautiful, and I never saw it like this before, but mashallah, a few words with powerful meaning. وَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ الدُّعَى أُوْتِيَ الْإِجَابَةِ وَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ الدُّعَى أُوْتِيَ الْإِجَابَةِ. Translate. Ya Ibrahim. Yani if Allah gives a person success to make dua, Allah is going to respond to them. What's the proof? The saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Rabb said, call upon me, I will answer you. He said, call upon me, I will answer you. So if Allah gives you the success to make dua, Allah is going to answer you, inshaAllah. And in the end of the ayah he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Yani whoever is too proud to worship me, yani to make dua, then he will be entered into the hellfire and humiliated. Then the shaykh closes with this point that is related to the importance of dua and turning to Allah. He said, and what? فَمَا أَحْوَجَ الْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُكْفِرَ الدُّعَىٰ وَالْإِلْتِجَاءِ إِلَىٰ سَيِّدِهِ وَرَبِّهِ وَمَوْلَاهُ. Yani, oh how great is the need of the abd to make a lot of dua and to turn to Allah who is one's Sayyid, master, and Rabb, and Mawla. Yani Allah is our master. He is our, Lord. He is the one who, gives us everything that we have, our protector and provider. So here he's saying, oh how great is the need of the abd to supplicate to Allah and to call on him, because he is the one who controls all affairs, and yahdiyahu, to guide him, to call on him for guidance. وَأَن يُصْلِحَ قَلْبَهُ, and to rectify, to reform, to correct one's heart. وَأَن يُثَبِّتَهُ عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَى, and to make him firm, to be steadfast upon the truth and right guidance. وَأَن يُعِيذَهُ مِنْ سَبِيلَ الْحَلَاكِ وَالرَّدَى, and also to protect him, to grant him protection from the path of destruction. والتوفيق بيد الله وحده, and the success is in the hand of Allah alone. And then the shaykh closes with the supplication, the meaning of which is that we ask Allah to provide us, all of us, to grant us, to make us successful in sincere tawbah, and to remain firm on this affair. وَالْعَزِيمَ عَلَى الرُّشْدِ, and that we have firm resolve, we have firm resolve on right action, and that he forgive us what we have done in the past, and what has not yet come, and what we have done secretly, and what we have done openly, and what he knows of what we have done better than we know. Indeed, he is forgiving, merciful. And we ask Allah to grant us the success to do that which he loves and is pleased with, of speech and action and right guidance and sincere intentions. And all of the praise belongs to Allah alone. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Naam. So, since we've already prayed, if there are any corrections or comments or questions, we can take them now. Abdul Wali first.
The first card, the exaltedness of Allah, as the Shaykh was speaking, I guess you could elaborate on it. It requires you to have an understanding of Tawhid as a lesson.
No doubt that the first matter that Ibn Qayyim mentions, to recognize the greatness, the glorification, and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requires that a person know Allah. How can a person recognize and acknowledge Allah's greatness and His glory and His magnificence except that you know Allah? So that means that it requires a person to study. And from the most important things that we can study is Tawheed, and from the Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Because this makes us to know Allah's beautiful names and His divine lofty qualities and characteristics. That will enable a person to have ta'zeem of Allah. That will enable a person to glorify Allah. Now, somebody over here. What's your name, brother?
Yusuf.
Yes. Yusuf, mashallah. I'm sorry, the last what?
The last point you made, the very last point. I started off, inshallah, what I caught, but I'm not going to remember. You said the pleasure of one will experience no conquering the nafs of fires, and that's where I left off.
Okay, so the seventh point, from the beginning.
Yes.
And I said what?
I reworded it so I understand.
Yes.
The pleasure one will experience when conquering the nafs.
What was that, the seventh?
I It might have been like the 18th.
Yeah, no, it was that's point number six. Point number six. No problem. That's point number six, yeah. So the pleasure that a person enjoys, yani lazzatu qahr an-nafs, the pleasure that a person enjoys from overcoming their nafs, their lower desires. Yani if a person has a desire to use intoxicants, or a person has a desire to engage in illegal sexual relations, so that's something that a person might find enjoyable, pleasurable. But the pleasure for the believer of overcoming that desire to do evil is greater than that. Yani there's a pleasure when a person is able to resist that sin and don't do it. That's a joy that the believer experiences when they ask Allah's help and they fight against those lower desires. There's a joy in that. Yani of that success of conquering the nafs. Naam. Fadl.
Leaving the land or avoiding the place of where the fitna is occurring. So
yeah.
How can we relate this to like a workplace or, you know, we take the public transport, a bus, train.
Avoiding fitna. How do we relate that to workplace?
Like,
or public transportation?
Things we're like forced to go through. Like there's no way to really avoid it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if a person is compelled and they have no option and they have no escape from the place where they work and there's fitna there. Yani whatever that fitna might be. Yani the most obvious fitna is working with women. Right? Kafir women in a kafir society where women have no any sense of shame, decency. So that's a fitna, no doubt. So a person should yani observe the laws of the guidelines that Allah has given us. Yani number one, a person should lower their gaze. And number two, a person should avoid being in seclusion, yani with a woman that is not yani close, yani relative to them, yani a prohibited yani relationship. You know, a person should observe these guidelines that Allah has given, and try to do the best they can, yani to reduce the amount of the fitna. Better than that is just get another job. If a person is not able to get another job today, then they have to at least make intention, sincere intention, to get another job, to get out of that situation, and ask Allah's help. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. So whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for them. You know, nobody's stuck in a situation that they can never get out. If you can't get out today, it may be tomorrow. But whoever observes taqwa, Allah will help them. And Allah will make a way out for them. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And if a person puts their trust in Allah, really relies upon Allah, Allah is going to make a way out for them. Allah is going to help them. Allah is going to be sufficient for them. Better than that is that we just get out of here and go to a land where the people are worshipping Allah. And this actually, as many of the scholars of the past and the present, and I'm going to cut it right here, yani for the sake of time, because brothers are going to be traveling long distance. Yani it is, according to many scholars, and from amongst them, is the Hafidh ibn Kathir in his Tafsir Surah An-Nisa, ayahs 97, 98, 99, and 100. These are ayahs that we already know by now. He makes it crystal clear that to migrate from the land of Kufr to the land of the Muslims is obligatory upon a Muslim. To not do so is sinful. By ijma', he said, by ijma' wa bi nasi hadhihi al-ayat. The clear text of this ayat of the Quran. So, it is incumbent upon us. Hijrah is incumbent upon the Muslim who is in this filthy land, land of the kufar, mushrikeen, land of fitna, whatever, Muslims should get out of that place. And if a person migrates for the sake of Allah, Allah will help them. Allah promised that He will make a way for them. That they will find in the land a place of refuge and provisions plentiful, as Allah mentioned in those ayats. Okay, one more question. I think somebody had their hand up. If not, yeah, Abu Bakr, and then we're going to stop here. Is there any exception to hijrah? Yeah, the person who's not able. The person who's not able. Listen, as difficult as it may seem to us, it's not that difficult because Allah controls everything. It's just that we have to really attach our heart to Allah. If we put our trust in Allah, if a person makes every effort to leave the land of kufr, to go to the land of the Muslims, and they are not successful in doing so, then Allah rewards intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرٍ مَا نَوَى. If a person intended good, Allah is going to reward them for that. Like the man who, when these ayats were revealed, Ibn Kathir mentioned in his tafsir, he was sick. And when they recited those ayats to him, he told his people, he said, I have no excuse in front of Allah to remain here one night, prepare something to carry me on and take me to Medina. And take me out of here. He was a sick man who couldn't even walk or ride. They had to put him on a stretcher or something and carry him. And we know that the person who migrates for the sake of Allah, if they died on the way, what? The reward is with Allah. So if a person tries and they're unable to reach the destination, Allah is going to reward them. But if a person doesn't have an intent in their heart that's manifested by actions, by trying to do something. Because we can fool each other, but we can't fool Allah. We can say, I really want to get out of here, but Allah knows what's in our hearts. May Allah grant us success in doing better under these horrible conditions. But also, a person should have a desire in their heart. A person should prefer. How does a Muslim prefer to live with kafirs than to live with Muslims? How do you prefer to live with kafirs than to live with Muslims? In spite of, I have lived in 6 or 7 different Muslim lands, and I would rather live in any one of them, including Sudan. And Sudan, when I lived there, I had malaria 6 times in 1 year. And I would rather be there than to be here. And Allah knows what's in our hearts. But even with whatever is in the Muslim lands, it would be better to be in any Muslim land than to be here. Because if we die in this condition, Allah only knows. Yani what will be, if we will have an excuse or not. And in those ayats, Surah Al-Nisa, please go back and read them. Allah tells us, what's the condition of the person who didn't have an excuse and dies without making hijrah? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.